भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्य नारायण चैव नरोत्तम देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तत्त्वचायं उदितयेत् नस्तप्रयेषु अबद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतां सेवया भगवदुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So we will continue to read Krishna book. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Okay, let's continue. From yesterday's. This is the second chapter, prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. At the present, the demigods prayed, the Supreme Lord Krishna is appearing just for the maintenance of this manifestation. Actually, the supreme cause is one, but less intelligent persons being deluded by the three modes of material nature, see that the material world is manifested through different causes. Those who are intelligent can see that the cause is one, Krishna. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sava Karana Karanam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of all causes. Brahma is the deputed agent for creation. Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna for maintenance. And Lord Shiva is the expansion of Krishna for dissolution. Our dear Lord, the demigods prayed, it is very difficult to understand your eternal form or personality. People in general are unable to understand your actual form. Therefore, you are personally descending to exhibit your original eternal form. Somehow, people can understand the different incarnations of your lordship, but they are puzzled to understand the eternal form of Krishna with two hands moving among human beings, exactly like one of them. This eternal form of your lordship gives ever-increasing transcendental pleasure to the devotees. But for the non-devotees, this form is very dangerous. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is very pleasing to the sadhus, parichanaya sadhunam. But this form is very dangerous for the demons, because Krishna also descends to kill the demons. He is therefore simultaneously pleasing to the devotees and dangerous to the demons. Our dear lotus-eyed Lord, you are the source of pure goodness. There are many great sages who simply by samadhi or transcendental meditating upon your lotus feet and thus being absorbed in your thought have easily transformed the great ocean of nuisance created by the material nature into no more than the water in a calf's hoofprint. The purpose of meditation is to focus the mind upon the personality of Godhead, beginning from his lotus feet. Simply by meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, great sages cross over this vast ocean of material existence without difficulty. So here, actually, Srila Prabhupada, he was mentioning the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Parichanaya Sadhunam Vinashayacha Dushvitam. This is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text number 8. Let's take a look at it. Actually, Prabhupada, he wrote a very beautiful purport to this verse. I want to share a little bit with everyone. Translation, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verse summarized these principles of incarnation. Translation, the avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead whoso descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. So this is the incarnation meme. And actually, that's why Prabhupada he was saying that the Lord is simultaneously pleasing to the devotees and dangerous to the demons. Yeah, because, you know, the Lord descends to this world to give pleasure to his devotees. At the same time, he chastised or punished the demons. Yeah. Let's go on, huh? So the great sainted person who have crossed over the ocean of nuisance by the help of the transcendental abode of your lotus feet. 1 second. Yeah, all self-illuminated one, the great sainted person who have crossed over the ocean of nuisance by the help of the transcendental abode of your lotus feet have not taken away that boat. It is still lying on this side. If one takes a boat to cross over a river, the boat also goes with one to the other side of the river. And so, when one reaches the destination, how can the same boat be available to those who are still on this side? To answer this difficulty, the demigods say in a prayer that the boat of the Lord's lotus feet is not taken away. The devotees still remaining on this side are able to pass over the ocean of material nature. Because the pure devotees do not take the boat with them when they cross over. When one simply approaches the boat, The whole ocean of material nuisance is reduced to the size of the water in a calf's hoofprints. Therefore, the devotees do not need to take the boat to the other side. They simply cross the ocean immediately. Because the great sentient persons are compassionate toward all conditioned souls, the boat is still lying on this side. In other words, one can meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord at any time, and by doing so, one can cross over the great ocean of material existence. So it reminds me of a verse from the Bhagavad Gita again. Yang yang vapi smanam bhavam tyajanti ante karevanam tam tam evaiti kunteya satada bhava bhavita. Krishna tells Arjuna that whatever state of being one remembers at the time of death, that state he will attain without fail. So that means the consciousness at the time of a death that will determine our next birth. So similarly, if one can just meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for sure, you know, he can cross over this great ocean of material existence by going to the, by going back to the spiritual world. Yeah. So continue on, huh? Meditation means concentration upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Lotus feet indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but those who are impersonalists do not recognize the lotus feet of the Lord. And therefore, the object of meditation is something impersonal. The demigods express the mature verdict that persons who are interested in meditating on something world or impersonal cannot cross over the ocean of nuisance. Such persons are simply imagining that they have become liberated. O lotus-eyed Lord, their intelligence is contaminated because they fail to meditate upon the lotus feet of your lordship. As a result of this neglectful activity, the impersonalists fall down again into the material way of conditioned life. Although they may temporarily rise to the point of impersonal realization, impersonalists undergo severe austerities and penances to merge themselves into the Brahman effulgence or impersonal Brahman existence. But their minds are not free from material contamination. They have simply tried to negate the material ways of thinking. That does not mean that they have become liberated. Thus they fall down. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that impersonalists have undergone great tribulation in realizing his ultimate goal. At the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also stated that without devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve liberation from the bondage of fruitive activities. The statement of Lord Krishna is there in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. The statement of great sage Narada is there. And here also the demigods confirm it. So that's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying, religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So that's why Prabhupada, he was commenting here that the impersonalists, they have to fall down again because they do not have devotional service to the Lord. They are simply mental speculation. So the demigod continue pray, saying, persons who have not taken to devotional service are understood to have come short of the ultimate purpose of knowledge and are not favored by your grace. The impersonalists simply think that they are liberated, but actually they have no feeling for the personality of Godhead. They think that when Krishna comes into the material world, he accepts a material body. They therefore overlook the transcendental body of Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Avachananti Mamuda. In spite of conquering material lust and rising to the point of liberation, the impersonalists fall down. If they are engaged just in knowing things for the sake of knowledge and do not take to the devotional service of the Lord, they cannot achieve the desired result. Their achievement is the trouble they take, and that is all. It is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita that to realize Brahman identification is not all. Brahman identification may help one become joyful without material attachment or detachment and to achieve the platform of equanimity. But after this stage, one has to take to devotional service. When one takes to devotional service after being elevated to the platform of Brahman realization, he is then admitted into the spiritual kingdom for permanent residence in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the result of devotional service. Those who are devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never fall down like the impersonalists. Even if the devotees fall down, they remain affectionately attached to their Lord. It reminds me that in the early days, some of our Prabhupada's disciples, lived our society. And Prabhupada, took very, very compassionate to those devotees. So, to these disciples. And always he's trying to send some other of disciples to bring them back. Yeah. Because, it is said in the Shastra that devotional service will never go in vain. Even if he performed 1% of devotional service in this lifetime, he will continue. That will not never lose. He will continue from that point in the next life, like that. So they can meet all kinds of obstacles on the path of devotional service and freely without any fear. They can surmount such obstacles. Because of their surrender, they are certain that Krishna will always protect them, as it is promised by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. My devotees are never vanished. Oh, vanquished, sorry, yeah. That's actually the Bhagavad Gita, the verse, chapter 9, text number 31. Let's take a look at this verse. Huh? Shipram bhavati dhamatma shashvachanti nigachati konteya pradijani hi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna tells Arjuna, he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Yeah. So this is Krishna's promise that his devotee will never vanquish, will never perish. Our dear Lord, the demigods continued, you have appeared in your original unalloyed form, the eternal form of goodness, for the welfare of all living entities within this material world. Taking advantage of your appearance, all of them can now very easily understand the nature and form of the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. Persons who belong to the four divisions of social orders, the brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, can all take advantage of your appearance. Dear Lord, husband of the goddess of fortune, devotees who are dovetailed in your service do not fall down from their high position like the impersonalists. Being protected by you, the devotees are able to traverse over the herds of many Mayas, commander-in-chief, who can always put stumbling blocks on the path of liberation. Dear Lord, you appear in your eternal transcendental form for the benefit of the living entities, so that they can see you face to face and offer the worshipful sacrifices by ritualistic performance of the Vedas, mystic meditation, and devotional service as recommended in the scriptures. Dear Lord, if you did not appear in your eternal transcendental form, full of bliss and knowledge, a form which can eradicate all kinds of speculative ignorance about your position, then all people would simply speculate about you according to their respective modes of material nature. The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person, therefore a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old, and therefore they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. But in the same Brahma Samhita, it is contradicted. Although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. The exact words used in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam are Vijnanam Agyana Vidapama Janam. Vijnanam means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijnanam is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of disciplic succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. The Brahma Samhita is Vijnanam, as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience. And in that way, he presented the form and the pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. This knowledge is Agyana Vitapa Marjanam, that which can smash all kinds of speculation in ignorance. People are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form, and sometimes he has form, according to their different imagination. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is Vijnanam, scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There's no doubt about it. Krishna's form, his fruit, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that this Vijnanam is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. The demigod continued prayer, making the prayer. Therefore, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither Agyana vitapamajanam, destruction of the nuisance of speculative knowledge, nor vijnanam, would be realized. In other words, your appearance will vanquish the ignorance of speculative knowledge and establish the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma. Men, influenced by the three modes of material nature, imagine their own God according to the modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts the form of matter in the mode of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonalist, Shankaracharya, has admitted Narayana Paro Vyakta. The material creation is caused by the avyakta, impersonal, manifestation of matter, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter. But Krishna is transcendental to that material conception. That is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam as Sudasattva, or transcendental goodness. He does not belong to the material mode of goodness, and he is about the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental eternal status of bliss and knowledge. So time is up, huh? So I just stop here. Are there any questions and comments? Yes, Ranjana Prabhu.
Mentioned in the reading that that when a great devotee when approaches the ocean of material existence, it becomes like the water in a cast footprint, so he could easily cross over it. So in this way, he doesn't take the boat with him and leave, you know, and then the boat's not there for us. So does that mean that there are two types of devotees who go back to the spiritual world then? Because those who go just cross over the cast footprints, and those who take the boat?
Actually, I do not know. Can anyone answer this question?
So the question is, there's two, the great devotees, they approach the ocean of material existence, becomes like a water in a calf's footprint, so in that way they don't take the boat with them, because generally one goes, takes the boat and crosses over, so the boat is left for us to cross over to go back to the spiritual world. So that is that an indication there are two types of devotees that go back to the spiritual world, those who take the boat and those who just simply cross over the footprints of the calf?
For a nice class, Prabhuji. The best I can do in understanding this, in one sense, it is two types. There's one type of devotee who absorbs himself, for example, in the holy name. Absorbing oneself in the holy name shrinks the ocean of Maya down to the size of a little like a footprint. And why does it do that? Because you're contacting, you're associating with, you're attuned with the Supreme Lord. And therefore, in other words, you're not climbing up a big mountain, you're simply repeating the name with love and devotion and affection and appreciation, and that helps one to immediately receive the grace of God, and the grace of God is what gives us that realization that the Lord is can be realized in that manner. In other words, what I'm saying is that it is not a big struggle. God has made it very easy for us. All we have to do is keep on chanting, And what happens is that that is the, you might say, the disappearance of the boat. There is no boat there because the concentration on and the focus on the holy name of the Lord just makes the ocean disappear. So you don't need a boat. That's the main point there. So the other thing is that the, as Prabhupada has been commenting on, is the impersonalists. So they don't focus on the holy name. They don't try to develop love for the Lord at all. Their only interest is trying to prove that they are God. Okay? And that's what Prabhupada means, but that they cannot achieve this love of God, because if you want to be God, how can you love God?
Right.
So it's a contradiction in terms. And therefore, as it is mentioned, they fall down because they never achieve that lofty position of love of God, which has bliss and peace and joy. So in answer to your question, Rabindra, I've already answered it. The most important thing is that the ocean shrinks as a result of the chanting of the holy name, and you don't need a boat because the holy name has caused a shrinkage of that ocean, so all you have to do is step over it. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj. Satchitananda Prabhu, you have something?
I don't want to make a repetition, but it is mentioned that samasritaye padapalava plavan, that the boat of the Lord always remain here. Mahat padapunya yaso murare. So those who take shelter of the Lord's feet of the Lord, they will always be able to cross. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when there's the questions and answering and the glorification of the spiritual master, there is a verse also that describes that the boat of the Lord never, you know, the boat always remains here. Those pure devotees are able to cross and lead the boat here, meaning like the spiritual master or those pure devotees. So in many descriptions is given that taking shelter of the lotus field, those who see the lotus field of the Lord will never experience birth or age, disease and death. And that's but also by the Bahuti. It's given one verse.
Thank you very much. That's a good point. Vikrari Prabhu, you have something to say? Okay. So, Dear Arita Prabhu.
So, there is another description. There is like three types of devotees. Sadhana Siddha. There are three types of devotees. There is Sadhana Siddha, there is Kripa Siddhas, and there is Nitya Siddhas. So, it refers to Nitya Siddhas who don't need this boat. But it's actually Sadhana Siddhas who need this boat. And then in the 11th canto, there is another verse which describes how the instructions of the spiritual master are the favorable winds that help move this boat towards the lotus feet. So,
thanks.
I thought this like relevant. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. So, we will stop here. Krishna book ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai, Haribo, Haribo.